It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and TalentStream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
Good morning, Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. Today we are broadcasting from the Advanced Technology Development Center at Georgia Tech, commonly known as the ATDC, outstanding resource and catalyst for the thriving technology entrepreneurial scene here in Atlanta. We're in Tech Square, to be specific. This area has the highest density of startups, corporate innovators, and academic researchers in the entire southeastern United States, which is pretty impressive. Neat part of town. Today's show is the latest installment of one of our most popular series, the Supply Chain City Series. And as always, we're going to be spotlighting some of the great stuff happening right here in the Metro Atlanta area. But regardless of your geographic persuasion, our listeners will absolutely gain valuable insights and perspective from our guests today that will be relevant and applicable wherever you may be. So big thanks to our great sponsors that allow us to make this happen, Apex Atlanta and TalentStream. And a friendly reminder, you can find our Supply Chain Now Radio replays on a variety of channels: iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and of course our great partners over at Business Radio X. As always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. So let's say hello to my co-host, Ben Harris, Director of Supply Chain Ecosystem Expansion. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Great. Doing fantastic. Glad that you're here amongst all of your travels, continuing to expand and grow the supply chain world right here in Metro Atlanta.
Indeed, indeed. We have a couple of companies here this morning. We're going to talk about just that.
We got some great guests today. So let's, on that note, let's go ahead and welcome them. And before we dive into some of the top things knowing supply chain now, we're going to have Robin Gregg, CEO of RoadSync, the organization that's on a mission to modernize payments across the entire logistics industry. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
Glad that you're here. That's quite a mission you're on.
It is. It is. Yeah.
And we'll get an update on your progress, too.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Very soon. We also want to welcome Justin Rayner, CEO and co-founder of StaffWorks, and his business partner, Evans Rayner, COO and co-founder of StaffWorks. StaffWorks is a really neat company, and it provides a better way to schedule and engage your hourly team members. So good morning, Justin and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for having us.
Glad y'all are here as well. So we got an A-plus lineup here. Robin, Justin, and Evans, we're going to dive more into their stories and their leadership and innovation really here momentarily. But before we do that, Ben, we've got 18 pages of some of the top things known in supply chain now, right?
We do, but I think we condensed it down to about three key announcements, at least in the past couple of weeks. So, yeah, we'll try to cut it down a little bit here.
Okay, and we want to lead, it's all about streamlining, and we want to lead off with some economic development wins. So what's on your radar first off,
Ben? Yeah, a couple of recent wins here. Plethora Manufacturing is actually opening a facility in Cobb County right now. Governor Brian Kemp, state of Georgia, announced today that Plethora, a leader in on-demand manufacturing of quality custom prototypes and end production parts, will create 250 jobs and invest more than $17 million in a new production facility in Marietta. So very exciting announcement there. They're actually currently working with Lanier Tech, Kennesaw State, and Georgia Tech as far as connecting with Georgia's readily available workforce. So 250 more jobs for Atlanta, $17 million investment. Pretty nice little carve out of new business here. So that's a great one. Cobb County, phenomenal partners to work with. Of course, the state was deeply involved in this, as well as Quick Start. So, very, very exciting announcement there.
Welcome to Supply Chain City. Fantastic news. What else you got cooking?
Indeed, yeah. There's one more announcement. Elma Electronic, actually, was with executives from Gwinnett County and the state of Georgia at their own headquarters in Switzerland, oddly enough. So another place I'd like to travel next week. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But they were actually in Switzerland to announce the relocation and expansion of a manufacturing facility in the city of Lawrenceville in Gwinnett there for Metro Atlanta. So the new location is slated to open in July of this year and represents 93 new jobs to the local community. So some great new manufacturing jobs here. And that's actually somewhat of an expansion. The new location will serve as the home for Elma's Optima Stantron products division used in the industrial and defense market segments and provides significant room for growth for the 150,000 available square feet now. So this is a consolidation for the cabinet enclosure operations originally located in San Francisco, California, oddly enough. Can you imagine manufacturing and so forth in San Francisco? It's a little pricey, most likely. So I think workforce and probably cost of doing business was key here. So very exciting announcement for our partners up in Gwinnett there.
Love that. Elma Electronic, unique name too. Welcome to Metro Atlanta. So a couple of great wins. Man, I wish we had updates like that every week, which we almost do.
It's funny because some announcements are a little more visible than others, I would say. You know, you got your big ones we've had in the past year, like the Starbucks and folks like that. But then you've got a lot of these, you know, we'll call them smaller, but they're pretty significant. 250 jobs, 93 jobs here and there. That's nothing to shake a stick at. That's very important for the state here. That adds up. So very excited about that.
Definitely. Don't shake any sticks at Elma.
No. Don't want to mess with Elma.
They're going to fit right in. And Gwinnett, a lot of great things happen up in the Lawrenceville area too. All right. So moving from some of those wins to some of your global travels as you serve as a great ambassador for all things Georgia, but certainly all things Metro Atlanta. So talk about where you're headed next.
I am gallivanting to Europe on Friday, apparently. So going to Munich, actually, is the first stop. Very excited about the Transport and Logistics Show. Transport Logistics in Munich is actually happens every other year. It is the largest transport and logistics show in the world, actually, at this time. So, and again, every other year it switches locations, but Munich is where it will be this year. Super excited about the partnership. We are going with Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport with their big efforts to grow their air cargo.
Best in the world.
Yeah, indeed. Air cargo is definitely something that the airport is strategically focused on, and this will be a big announcement there. I wish I could tell everybody what the announcement's going to be, but you'll just have to tune in, and we'll check out the Twitter waves and whatnot around Wednesday. Would be a good time to check that out. So we should have more information on that, but it will be a partnership announcement with a couple different airlines, some regions, lots of people will be involved there. So press conference, press release, all kinds of things are going to come out on Wednesday for that. So stay tuned.
Fantastic. Well, maybe you do a live correspondent show on the
road.
Can
I do that?
I think we'll figure it out.
Sounds kind of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing like your late-breaking supply chain news right here on Supply Chain Now Radio. So, but a lot of things happening. And before we interview our three guests today and learn more about their stories and how they're moving the needle, a little bit of love was shown our way this past week. The folks over at FeedSpot put together a really neat top 10 supply chain management podcast that are not to be missed, as they put it, in 2019. You must subscribe and listen. I like that message. And they had a top 10 list, and Supply Chain Now Radio came in at number one. And we had a lot of great partners and collaborators on the same list. We love Supply Chain Insights and their Straight Talk. We really like Let's Talk Supply Chain. We're going to be collaborating with Sarah Barnes-Humphrey, who's based in Toronto, in the next couple of weeks on a joint show. And a lot of the great shows, including Talking Logistics, of course, with
Adrian Gonzalez.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's a great one. Yeah, if you haven't listened to that one too. The others, I need to
please
school myself a little more than some of the others. But yeah, Adrian's been in the industry a good long time, and he's got some phenomenal sponsors. That's good company to keep.
He I like his insights and been there, done that, and that's how a lot of his content comes across, which we love. So they put FeedSpot put their list together based on the following criteria. Based on, I'm reading directly from their site: Google reputation, Google search ranking, influence, popularity on Facebook, Twitter, other social media sites, quality and consistency of episodes, and FeedSpot's editorial team and expert reviews. So, hey, appreciate that. You can learn more at blog, www.blog.feedspot.com /supply chain management podcast, and you can check out that list. And we encourage you to check out all the other folks on the list as well.
Yeah, Inbound Logistics is on that list also, a phenomenal publication. They do a big podcast series. So, again, yep, another one to check out there.
So we're, you know, as always been on all of our shows, all of our series, we are our North Star is the content and trying to not be an infomercial and trying not to be a commercial, but really put the spotlight on our guests and the great things they're doing in our industry, whether related to business, related to industry topics and issues and challenges. And it's neat to, you know, get some recognition, come back the other way from time to time. So thanks to the feedspot.com team, and y'all check out that list. Okay, before we dive into our featured guest, Ben, anything else on your radar, any other announcements that you want to make? Y'all had a busy office.
We did.
And news desk these last few weeks, huh?
We have indeed. We had a couple more things that, you know, that are definitely in the cooker right now that I'll, you know, we'll probably not talk about here on the air just yet, but there's a couple things that are coming out as with the industry as a whole here in Supply Chain City. So more to come on that here in the next upcoming episodes.
Fantastic. Okay, with that being said, let's reintroduce our featured guests, bring them back into conversation here. We are really pleased to have Robin, Justin, and Evans all join us. Robin, I want to start with you, the first question of the day here. So before we talk about RoadSync and all the great things that you're doing there, your team is doing, let's get a better feel for who you are and some of your journey here. So tell us a little about yourself, Robin.
Yeah, be happy to. I've been, my career's primarily been in payments. So I've been in payments for over 15 years. I actually started my career post-MBA at Capital One. And ran a product for them for several years. And then I had my first startup experience at a company called Revolution Money in the Tampa Bay area. We sold that business to Amex. I did not want to go back and work for a bank at that point in my career. Mm-hmm. I really liked working for smaller, more entrepreneurial businesses. And so at that point, I actually joined FleetCor, which is the world's largest provider of commercial fuel card payments. Mm. At the time, they were pretty small. They were private equity backed. And I was brought in by a fellow Capital One alum to help him build out the North America fuel card business. And it ended up being a rocket ship. I wasn't sure I was going to like fuel cards or that segment, but I really fell in love with serving this part of the market and kind of getting more acquainted with sort of industrial and commercial segments, small business owners who had vehicles that they were using for business purposes, and really enjoyed it. And we grew that business, I mean, you know, 10x over the time I was there.
Wow.
So it was super exciting time to be there. And so then that led me to my next entrepreneurial experience, which is running RoadSync. But I've been in Atlanta for 8 to 9 years. It's a perfect place for a career in fintech and in supply chain.
You're the nexus between the two. It's perfect for that.
Exactly. Yeah. Total intersection. And I am a proud mom of two crazy boys, 12 and 7.
Wow.
And originally a native West Virginian.
Okay.
Nice. That's,
yeah.
Nice.
What city?
Martinsburg, right along Interstate 81.
Okay.
Right on.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, what a great background for you to take into the RoadSync. And no wonder y'all are doing big things based on, you know, some of the other initiatives you've been a part of.
That's right. Yeah. No. And I think one of the things I realized at FleetCor was I actually got to see how these businesses were struggling to sort of professionalize their back office and how they were paying for things and also collecting payments. Mm. So FleetCor was very much on the expense side. So how do trucking companies pay for fuel? What RoadSync is more on is how people get paid. Mm. And so it's sort of the other end of the transaction, which also needs tools and a solution for.
So we're going to dive a lot. That's a little tease for coming attraction. So we're going to dive a lot more into RoadSync. But great to have you here, Robin Gregg, CEO of RoadSync. So let's switch over to Justin and Evans. So let's talk about your – give us a little background on each of you. Justin, let's start with you.
Sure. Yeah, I tell you, I started my career actually having more fun than probably focused on business. I got out of college in 2004 and – did what any self-respecting graduate would do. I moved to Wyoming and went out there to spend a few years and kind of fine-tune my skiing, and then ended up getting a job with the National Park System, and got my U.S. Merchant Marine license and piloted ferry boats for about 3 years.
Wow.
And had a lot of fun doing that, though I realized if I didn't get out of there soon, I was going to be stuck telling people on every trip what the white stuff at the top of the mountains was. And so I decided to move back to Atlanta, where I was originally from. Got involved with a company in the energy space doing energy efficiency programs, primarily appliance recycling programs throughout North America, and happened to just get started with them when they were in startup phase, and the company exploded over the next eight to nine years, and was really fortunate to be in a place where I could kind of have my hands in a little bit of everything. So I oversaw operations for 32 facilities across North America. I managed business development, program management, and design with hundreds of utility companies throughout North America. And so it was a really great experience, and I really enjoyed it. In fact, I think I'm still on the marketing material on Georgia Power. So look at appliance
lasting legacy.
Yeah, yeah. If you go look at appliance recycling on Georgia Power's website, you'll see my my not so pretty face. But that company had some management struggles just due to the fact they grew so quick. It was based out of Washington, and I was here in Atlanta. When that company kind of rolled up their operations, a startup out of Atlanta called Reclaim was in a similar space and just getting going. And so I came over with them and kind of helped capture some of that lost, those lost contracts. Reclaim's still in Atlanta. They're doing a great, great job in that recycling space, and really someone worth checking out. They've really dived into logistics pretty heavily as well, trucking and transportation. From there, just really found that this problem with finding qualified personnel to fill out the necessary manpower at these facilities was just a very difficult problem to solve.
Yep.
A lot of it had to do with cycle times, not wanting to hold full-time staff.
Seasonality.
Sure. All of the issues that everyone deals with, really. And just finding candidates that are qualified. And so Evans and I were bouncing around some ideas, and this one kind of stuck. And we figured, you know, what if we could find a way to schedule and combine labor sources in a region or area. And so that's really been our primary focus, and we've done some really cool stuff. We've got a CTO, Davin Green, who is, I think, one of the smartest people I've ever met, and we've really been fortunate to have some great growth and bring on some really solid Fortune 1000 partners.
Mm. Awesome.
Fantastic. Well, from Wyoming to, you know, solving the skills gap, I mean, what a great story. And you know, something you don't hear all the time is boat captains and to earn that license.
Renaissance
man.
Yeah, seriously.
I love it.
I wasn't expecting that twist in the story there, Justin. All right, good stuff. So your brother here, Evans Rayner, CEO and co-founder of Staffwork. So, Evans, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, Justin and I have followed a very similar track. After he was leaving Wyoming, I graduated from Alabama, and I moved to Wyoming myself, except I wasn't on lakes. I was on rivers. I was a river guide and a fly fishing guide. Again, my dad always said that Peter Pan would want to grow up at some point, and he did. So I came back to Atlanta, and I got into enterprise IT sales, really focusing on large corporations. I was a great company, very similar track, where I was employee 25, 26. I think now they're at 150, 200, but it was a great learning experience going out, helping doing problem solving for these large companies. How can we save you money on real complex systems, multi-locations, everything from hardware sales to data center consolidations, moves. So it was an interesting track of really problem solving is what the main role was, helping these CTOs go out, problem solve, look at their current situation, and see how we could improve their operations, make things more streamlined, more efficient. And that was, you know, a great 7 years learning experience. And as Justin said, we started bouncing around ideas, and we had always, you know, every idea we had was in the HR space. Mm-hmm. I mean, we kept looking on how do we engage people? How do we engage hourly employees? And, you know, it was in Justin's front yard. I mean, what he was dealing with on a daily basis. And we dove in Spent about a year developing our plan and then dove in full time. And it's been an exciting 2.5-3 years so far.
Absolutely. So we want to dive more into both of the organizations. But before we do, Justin and Evans, I want to ask you all an interesting question. And you know, brothers working together, or sisters working together, siblings working together, it's a unique dynamic. So if y'all can, whoever wants to take this, what's the best thing and the most challenging thing about partnering with your sibling to run a business?
You want to take
it? Yeah, who goes first?
All right, okay. You know, it's surprisingly not that challenging. I'd say the challenging thing that we deal with on a daily basis is just not getting sick of each other, because we have a really tight and close-knit family. So we're together all the time, whether it's in the office or out of the office with family. And so, you know, we've been fortunate. Our parents raised us to always focus on relationships and never focus on the minutiae and, you know, money, that sort of thing. And so it's really kind of helped us stay grounded in our business life together. There always are struggles, as there are with any founders, but having the relationship that we had growing up really helps us to kind of break through any boundaries that we really run into, because at the end of the day, we're looking out for each other in our best interest.
Mm. And that was just, y'all sound a lot alike as well. I don't know if y'all hear that. That was just, Evans, anything you'd like to add to that?
Oh, I think our biggest problem is sometimes our mom still shops for us, and we show up at meetings separately, and we'll walk into the room and be like, oh no, we're wearing the exact same thing from head to toe, and people look at us like, do y'all have a uniform? Like, no. It's happened more often than I'd care to admit. At least here in the office, our people just give us a little, you know, some elbows in the ribs. But when you walk into a meeting at an enterprise level client, you're just like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah, I think we should just go all in and make everyone start wearing this.
Yeah.
The Facebook approach, gray shirt every day, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so good stuff there. So let's switch back over to Robin and RoadSync. So let's, you know, incredibly hot and fast growth freight tech space. Ben, you were kind of alluding to that, where supply chain and fintech and the technology space kind of intersect. So Robin, tell us more about RoadSync and what it does, you know, along with your role.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So the $700 billion transportation industry.
Is that with a B?
Billion, of course. Yeah. Runs a lot of their business on paper. And a lot of the financial transactions that are being conducted throughout the industry are happening with paper and phone calls. And so that means that there's a lot of inefficiency, leaky payments, payment timing is bad. And this is all in an industry that has a high degree of urgency and cash flow problems. And so we're on a mission to get rid of paper. And where we've started is by helping people specifically with their payments and digitize inbound payments, so payment acceptance, specifically around some of the services that people encounter in terms of delivery-related expenses. Mm. So just to make that more tangible, if you are a truck driver and you deliver at a Safeway distribution center, it's industry convention for you to actually pay someone to unload your vehicle. You might pay $150. And so if you're that facility, you are often collecting boxes of cash and fleet checks at your facility that someone has to take and deposit at the bank at night. So you can easily imagine how this is cumbersome. Mm. You have some guy running around a facility trying to make change for $150. You have to have someone take these payments to the bank. It's just a really clunky process. And it's, you know, large professional organizations that are collecting payments this way. Mm. And so we make that easy. We basically have almost like a digital cash register for these facilities to be able to take these payments and deposit them straight into their bank. The drivers themselves don't have to do anything different, but they also can get digital receipts. Mm. And we just have a better experience for everyone involved. And so we think that that platform can be used wherever paper invoices and paper payments are common, which is basically the entire ecosystem, not just these services and warehouse payments that we talked about. And then by professionalizing these payments, you actually have a better data trail of them, which actually provides people with access to other financial solutions. So our mission is really to provide a financial platform where these businesses can get better access to things like loans, payroll services, you name it, because we've really helped them professionalize their a fundamental part of their business. And then also the data. I mean, we get to see some really cool stuff about, you know, who's transacting and make people more visible.
That a lot of times that can be under the surface, and you know, you can't manage what you can't see.
That's correct.
And so when it's, you know, right in front of your face, you can be smarter about your business.
That's right. I mean, if you are trying to reconcile against cash and boxes of fleet checks and credit card payments, and you have everything on paper, you don't have a good sense of what is coming in, what timing, what your payment timing is going to look like, how cash flow looks. And so a lot of people are, you know, not doing a great job managing their business, not because they don't want to, but because they just don't have the tools.
I think everyone wins. This seems to be a cutting edge approach to, you know, like you said, the paper and phone calls that do in fact drive this space. The other thing that I think a few months back we were talking about some of the top things known in supply chain now, and you alluded to the security issue. Mm-hmm. And when you've got folks running around with checks and cash, of course, there's still ports still struggle with entire trucks being stolen. Mm-hmm. And if what goes with that are checks with routing numbers and everything on blank checks at that, I'm talking about a security issue, mm-hmm. you know. And there's I wish maybe Malcolm can shoot this number real quick, but it's a surprising number of how many entire trucks are stolen. The whole shebang, not a box, the whole thing. So, I mean, there's lots of reasons that it seems like RoadSync would make sense.
Yeah, no. And so we're, you know, we've been around in market since mid 2017. And we're used by about 200 locations today. Wow. Throughout the industry. So warehouses, freight handlers, heavy truck repair and tow merchants, they're all leveraging our platform. We're really trying to kind of expand our footprint and help as many types of businesses in the ecosystem as we can.
So one quick follow-up question to that is about your role, you know, at CEO of RoadSync. So you've already kind of spoken about some of your experience, but if we were to interview one of your employees about your leadership style or maybe a key functional aspect of your role that you take really seriously more so than others, talk to us about that.
I think as a startup CEO, it's you spend a lot of time thinking about sales. I've spent a gigantic percentage of my time thinking about how we're reaching our customers, how we're making them happy, what our sales model looks like, how we actually have an inside sales team, making sure that they have what they need and that we have the right sales strategy and approach and profile. Selling into this market is not the most straightforward thing. I have some background from my Fleet Corps days into how to make that work, but you got to get the right rep and you have to have the right approach to make your product accessible. I mean, I think we could be very easily seen as being condescending or, you know, just too technology forward and not be something that people find palatable. And so we have to kind of meet our customers where they are, which can be everywhere. I mean, we have very sophisticated clients and we have some that are not. Like they might have adopted a smartphone in the last year or two. Right. And so you got to just know what you're dealing with. And so that takes a really flexible approach. I spend a lot of time thinking about sales and sales approach.
So for those companies that are, you know, not exactly technology forward per se, Robin, is it mostly they have an app that they sign in through to get paid, or like what's the easiest or most basic way for them to kind of work with you guys?
Yeah, I think the shortcut way to think about our business is it's basically like Square for the trucking and transportation industry. So there is an app. We are accessible through any platform because we're cloud-based, so people can access us through the website, through a tablet, through an app on their phone. Whatever they want to do, they can use it. They don't have to install fancy equipment. They don't have to buy anything. And it's pretty easy. I mean, they just have to – they can create an invoice instantaneously and then punch in payment information and have it deposited straight into their bank. So it's very, very easy to use and very easy to get started.
Love it. So before we dive more on the talent side of StaffWorks, Malcolm did shoot me a note because we were talking about the security of truckers and all these other applications you mentioned. So reports of cargo theft in the U.S. dropped 19%. This is from the Logistics Market Snapshot, probably 3 or 4 months ago. So reports of cargo theft in the U.S. dropped about 19% between 2017 and 2018, according to numbers from CensaGuard. But in 2019, thus far, 592 thefts in the U.S., worth an average of $142,000. This is 74% of those thefts were full truckloads. That is ridiculous.
That's a lot.
Yeah, the driver stepping out and someone else stepping in, and next thing you know, it's gone, the whole shebang. So what a great way of risk mitigation and risk avoidance is such a hot thing in supply chain. And it sounds like RoadSync's doing some neat things to help companies in that area.
Yeah, and I think it's oversight too, right? I mean, it's not just, you know, there is a leakage from an employee theft standpoint for some of our facilities. There is just bad tracking. So they actually don't know if they collect all the payments. Because if you're a freight handler or an unloading clerk at a facility and the truck driver is like, I don't have a way to pay you, are you really going to rely
on
your employee?
Down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so it's easy to waive it and do things that make revenue collection not that great.
Yep. Fantastic. So we've just been chatting with Robin Gregg, CEO of RoadSync.
This episode of Supply Chain Now Radio is brought to you by Apex Atlanta, an association for supply chain management organization. Apex Atlanta provides supply chain thought leadership, networking, and certification opportunities for supply chain professionals. Consider getting involved with Apex Atlanta as a volunteer or general guest. Student memberships are free and the networking opportunities are numerous. Supply chain certification workshops can be delivered at your offices and are also offered through a partnership with Georgia Tech's Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. In 2019, CSCP and CLTD workshops are offered in a 2.5-day boot camp format in June and October. Whether you're interested in better understanding inventory management and planning fundamentals, end-to-end supply chain management concepts, or logistics, transportation, and distribution, Apex Atlanta has something for you. For more information on the workshops, the certifications, or area networking opportunities, check out apexatlanta.org or send a note to info@apexatlanta.org.
Okay, now we're going to switch over to bring Justin Evans back in the conversation. So talent is on everyone's mind in this war for talent, Aaron. If you're trying to hire, then you know exactly what we're talking about, right? So tell us more about StaffWorks and how you're helping organizations find some of the talent they're looking for. And Justin, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you ask anyone, I would say in any industry right now what their biggest problem is, I would say it's talent. And if it's not first, it's very close second. And the reason for that is the economy is just booming. And, you know, people are mobile now. You know, the long-term employee model doesn't work anymore. Employees turn over, you know, within 12 months, especially at the lower end of the pay scale. And so there's a lot of challenges that happen, especially with the lean practices that everyone is trying to migrate to in the logistics industry. And so what has happened in this dynamic is you have employees that are provided more and more by staffing providers so that the companies themselves are removing liability from themselves. And so you'll have these facilities that, you know, might have five or six different sources of labor from internal to, you know, outside labor sources like staffing providers. And communicating and scheduling with all of the individuals that are coming from all of those different sources of labor is very difficult. And in fact, it really just doesn't happen. And so there's a big push right now to try to automate the scheduling. And with the advances in AI and machine learning, a lot of these manual processes that have been, you know, handled by large HR teams can now be handled in a platform that allows you to really be able to collect data and then make educated decisions on the staffing according to the production volumes at the facility. And so we have really gone all in on trying to automate that and really providing a channel that allows for instant notification, whether or not someone calls in late, or arrives late, isn't available for a shift, is available for a shift, all different types of situations.
All that information is seamlessly provided to the folks that need to know that, right?
In real time.
Yes.
Yeah, and the rebooking of individuals to fill gaps in the employment happens automatically.
So, you know, if you've ever called into these large large sites, manufacturing, call centers, otherwise, a lot of times you'll get an automated message and options mm-hmm. for like a call in if you're sick, employee line.
Sure.
You're calling if you're sick, calling if you're late. So clearly it's a big pain point.
Yep.
So what I'm hearing, just that one aspect of what y'all provide, that's got to make these folks' lives a lot easier.
Oh yeah. It's pretty interesting to see the adoption rates. In fact, one of the biggest things that we ran into initially was usage of mobile apps. So we created a mobile first platform, really quickly learned that that doesn't work. And it's because push notifications, the open rates are down around like 50 to 60%.
You get so many of them.
You get
these
so
days,
many of them.
Right. I mean, you got to cut it off somewhere. Right?
I think 50 to 60% can even be generous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we transitioned and now all of our communication happens through a communication platform that's all text-based. Mm. 95% open rates. And so if you're sending that notification and engaging via communication, via text, email, or we have an automated phone system, we get a lot more immediate notification from the employee than we would through a mobile app type system. And so the employer and HR manager have immediate information as to what's going on within their labor force.
I'd actually like to echo that. Mm. We dabbled in having an app at the beginning for drivers or for other people to get notifications, and that did not work very well. And so we are all text-based as well, and it's super powerful.
I mean, when it comes to pictures, music, and the app's the first thing to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
It's really interesting text, as simple of a tool that is, just how far-reaching the ripple effect. I mean, between your how do you talk to your families these days? I get more texts from all of my relatives more so than any other form of communication. Relationship building, events, you name it. So really, it sounds like why not apply it to, you know, streamlining a really painful part of managing your workforce.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even going to something like you said, that call out line that's in facilities, 95% of the time that call out line's not getting answered.
Yeah.
So they just don't know that that person's not going to be there. With this tech system, they have one number, so, hey, I can't make it today. It's going to automatically update that roster. So that on-floor manager automatically sees that that name has called out today. Mm. You know, we can set it up to do things as even say, all right, well, shoot us a picture of your doctor's note, you know, and start automating all that process and help eliminate the 30-man HR teams in some of these huge distribution facilities that are managing 2,000-3,000 people on a daily basis.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that I think people miss too, especially when I was operating facilities, I just didn't understand the impact of not having a body there. Mm. I knew that it caused me problems throughout the day. But if you say you have a product that costs $30 that you're shipping to a client and you're expecting to get out, you know, 100,000 of those a day, well, if you have a 10-man labor team pushing out 100,000, you know, units, and then you lose a single person, that's a big hit on your bottom line. Your lost revenue there is very measurable. Although a lot of us don't like to look at it when we're operating facilities because it just is an anxiety producer.
But, sure.
You know, right. So we can help to solve that problem through automated scheduling, through a list of employees that said they're available to work even though they're not on shift.
Mm. I love it. I think we've got two very, you know, not all. It's great to have two very common sense, because I can feel the pain points that y'all are both organizations are addressing here. So let's switch gears a little bit, because I want to pick y'all's brain in terms of kind of greater supply chain trends, a little bit of bigger picture or challenges. So going back to Robin with RoadSync here. So Robin, what, you know, one or two supply chain trends, developments, challenges have been on your radar more than others here lately?
We've been really interested in what other technology drivers and trucking companies are adopting, just as we think about how to serve them. There's only so many technology solutions are going to adopt. And so we want to make sure whatever we're doing can be paired with that, or that is riding on a trend that's pretty powerful. Mm. So, you know, ELD is very interesting, and what's happening in that space. Smartphone adoption that we already talked about. When I was at Fleet Corps, we used to check it and track it every quarter. And it was so fun to see. I mean, just it went overnight from, you know, sub 25% to everybody had a smartphone. And, you know, specifically most people had Android devices. And so knowing where what people have already, what they're willing to use, knowing that they like to text versus downloading an app, like really those technology adoption trends are super important to us because we got to understand where our market is and what they're willing to do.
It's table stakes at some point. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the second trend is everybody always asks me about autonomous trucks.
Sure.
Right? Because like, hey, are you really going to have payments if there are autonomous trucks? Money's still going to have to move in the industry, but you know, people still are going to have to get paid,
right.
And there's still going to be companies and businesses who are invoicing and collecting payment. So we still think there's very much an opportunity, but having an answer for that is always important.
But you know, I mean, when autonomous trucking takes place, it's only going to make the case for digitizing the transactions, because no longer do you have that truck driver that's got the cash thing or a check. I mean, it's got to be automated. And, you know, just last week it was announced, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, TuSimple, the Chinese autonomous trucking provider, is doing a pilot with the U.S. Postal Service and running mail on autonomous trucks, which is pretty neat. You know, they've been here in the U.S., especially in Arizona, doing trials for a couple of years now, but they're taking the next step. So we'll see. But good stuff. So autonomous trucking, I think that's on. When is it going to happen? You know, how soon can we start applying the practical application to solving this truck driver shortage that we have too? Right.
Yeah, the different phases. Also, with semi-autonomous versus fully autonomous. I mean, semi. I feel like I hear a different, you know, wager every week on when that becomes more adopted. But
I mean, what's your wager today?
I'd say probably 10, 15 years, something like that. Okay. That sounds like a lot.
Does sound like a lot.
For semi-autonomous?
But the other part of the question is, you know, what level of adoption in 10 years? Is that, you know, 75%?
So let's define this for our audience, just in case, if you're not a transportation expert like other folks in the room. It's not certainly not me. So when you talk about semi-autonomous, we're talking about?
You still have a driver in the cab.
Okay.
Yeah, but they can take the reins if needed, obviously.
Like a backup option.
Exactly, backup option.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I actually think the time frame might be a little tighter than that. But fully unmanned, that's not a trend that I think I'm going to see in my professional life.
Yeah, regulation standpoint.
Right.
A lot of red tape.
And so I think, you know, for us, as you know, there's still going to be humans involved and there's still going to be payments that have to be passed along. And so we're not really super concerned about the trend, but it's always something I have to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, one thing to think about too is the lanes, right? I mean, long haul lanes, adoption is going to happen a lot quicker, right? When you start talking about last mile delivery, that's a totally different ballgame.
Got to have a driver for that. There's a lot of companies that are doing the pilots, you know, for semi-autonomous right now for long haul type stuff. But to your point, I mean, it's you know, for in-town stuff, you got to have a driver at this point.
Yep. All right. So, Justin, let's talk about, you just kind of weighed in on something there. Perfect. What else have you been tracking on your radar when it comes to supply chain trends and challenges?
I mean, I'd say the number one thing is unemployment levels right now. I mean, we're at record lows, and it's very concerning to everyone. And I think the biggest thing that causes concern is rising rates, right? So labor rates. That's a big problem right now because companies are trying to keep overhead low, but they're also trying to retain employees and try to grapple with how much money it's costing them on turnover. You know, right now you're in a situation where someone will leave, go across the street for a nickel. You know, they offer them a nickel more. It's like, sayonara, I'm out of here. And so that's a big problem. One thing Robin said earlier, what she focuses on is sales. Like, we are so geared in and focused on sales. In fact, my team probably hates me because that's all I talk about. But one of the
always be closing.
Yeah, always be closing.
There you go.
If you ain't first or last,
no coffee.
Yeah,
coffee's for closers.
I think the biggest issue right now in the logistics industry is how do you access the client? Because as Robin said, you have totally polar levels of adoption. And trying to get to the level of your purchaser is very tough. And so we're tracking all types of integrations with any kind of technology platform and how those technology platforms are making headways to break into the industry, because logistics has been historically a low-tech industry. And you still have a lot of operators that just won't, they'd like to adopt because they like what they hear. But when you get to the nuts and bolts of actually selling to them, they're very close-minded because they don't have the time to focus on it. And so we're really focused on the levels of adoption of technology. And similarly, the question we always get asked, well, what about robotics? And so, you know, it's a common question that we get. How are you going to protect yourself in a human resource position with robotics coming into play? And robotics are very far off from taking over and completely replacing the human. Similarly,
that is good news to hear.
Yeah. Well, you know,
depends on who you are.
Yeah. Right.
You know, a lot of the repetitive processes in big facilities, like take an Amazon for example,
right,
that can be robotics can have a very high adoption rate there because it's very simple practices.
Goes back to your point about long haul versus final mile. I mean, they're similar concept.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are focused now on how do we make the personnel on site more productive? Mm-hmm. And that's really where robotics are coming into play. It's augmenting the processes that are already happening.
Yes, and on that note, because you make a good point there, Justin, it's going to provide opportunities for folks that are willing to learn more and do more and step through that door and engage, right? That's the side of this these technological advances that I think are kind of underreported. Mm-hmm. Right, because although we were kind of all kidding around when robots going to take over and stuff, you know, to your point, they are taking over more of these mundane, highly repetitive tasks. But for folks that really want to lean in, it's going to open a door for many more opportunities.
You look at the phone industry. I mean, you used to have operators that were sitting there plugging the switches, and they thought that was a great job that was going to be around forever. But once that was automated, we just got better jobs, and you didn't have to sit there all day.
That's right.
At a phone switch.
That's right. So Evans, have you weigh in here. What else are you tracking here lately related to switching trends?
I look a lot at density, especially of these distribution centers going up. What areas are exploding very quickly? You look at, I think Savannah here in Georgia is a perfect instance. Ben, you can probably back me up on this. I mean, I think in the early 2000s, there were something single digits, millions square feet worth of distribution space. Mm-hmm. We're at about 65 million square feet of distribution space with another 10 to 12 coming out of the ground, something like that right now.
They can't build them fast enough.
And for us, we're looking at that labor force that's already strained. Where's that going to come? How are we going to engage the other workforces? How are you going to engage that stay-at-home mom that can't work, you know, 40 hours a week, but she might be able to work 20 hours a week? It just depends. So that's a lot of what I look at in those places. You know, where are we going to get to? How are we going to help them get the bodies in the door?
Yeah.
It's not going to be that traditional 40-hour week anymore. It's going to be the, you know, I can work two shifts here. I can work a shift here. You know, that's going to get us to that next level of employment.
And Evans, you know, the non-traditional, quote-unquote, workforce, so these folks are extremely intelligent, savvy. They have a lot of skill sets. They just can't, you know, that they have this constraint or you know, different things that keep them from working that proverbial 8 to 5. And if you can figure out a way, as y'all, I think you're helping organizations do, tap into this incredible talents on the sideline, I mean, everybody wins.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and it's an automation issue there. I mean, you don't have the time to start going through your phone list saying, oh, I'm 20 bodies short tomorrow for my numbers coming out, going through calling 100 people to see if you can get those 20 people. If you can automate that, click a button, start reaching them, pinging them, you're going to get your numbers that way.
I'm signing up today.
Yeah.
So what brought me to Atlanta was staffing and production facilities and warehousing facilities. And I worked with an incredible recruiting team. You just talked about, you know, 100, you know, calling 100 folks to find 20. I still remember in my, you know, at 5:30 in one afternoon, everybody's on the phone hunting the folks you need for the next day because, you know, the production went up. It's got to happen. We need 30 extra folks, right? Hardworking people, and we got to find them. And you're talking, calling 100, 200, 300 folks for that 20 or 30. So, you know, how can we automate that so that, you know, it's easier to find and have access to the talent, especially in taking advantage of all pools, traditional and non-traditional, right?
Yep.
What a great advantage.
Yeah, and there's a reason this is such a tight labor market here in Atlanta and Savannah, for that matter. You know, you were a two-hour plane ride, basically, to 80% of the market in a two-day truck drive to 80% of the market. Mm-hmm. So it's just a hotbed for distribution supply chain here. But because of that, you know, we're at zero unemployment right now when it comes to that stuff. So, you guys are in a great spot for that. I mean, it's a perfect market condition for you guys. It makes it hard, but it also makes it easier probably for you guys to, you know, open doors with some of the larger distribution centers here in the Atlanta area. So,
yep. So we've just been chatting with Justin Rayner, CEO and co-founder of StaffWorks, and Evans Rayner, COO and co-founder of the same company, getting their thoughts on some of the supply chain trends after Robin shared some of her insights as well. So let's move as we kind of wrap up the today's episode, episode 95, Supply Chain Now Radio, Supply Chain City series.
What are we going to do for 100?
I'm going to surprise you with something.
All right.
I can't release it yet. Maybe I'll fly to Munich and let you know.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. So, Robin Gregg, CEO of RoadSync, tell us, you know, how can folks get in touch with you to learn more about what y'all have to offer?
Well, we will be in Chicago from June 10th through June 12th at the Global Cold Chain Expo. It's a big food logistics show and also specifically focused on the cold storage industry. So we'd love to see people there if they happen to be in town. Atlanta actually has quite a few cold storage folks and facilities.
Americold is headquartered here, of course.
We also are at roadsync.com. You can also find us on Twitter at GoRoadSync.
Fantastic. And that's roadsync.com.
Roadsync.com.
Yes. Fantastic. And Justin and Evans, how can folks get in touch with StaffWorks?
They can go to our website at staffworks.com. It's staffwrx.com. We actually have a demo there. So if you'd like to see how our system engages with employees, you can text the number and it'll walk you through an automated demo. We are always down here at ATDC. If anyone's in the area, we always ask them to stop by and say hello so we can show them a little bit about what we're doing.
Fantastic. Evans, anything you want to bolt on to that?
We'll be at ASA Staffing World in Vegas in October, hey. I believe. It's October 20th. So we'll be there. Love to meet anybody that's not in the Atlanta area. Just shoot us a note. My email is eRainer, that's E-R-A-I-N-E-R, at staffworks.com. Again, staffwrx.com.
Fantastic. And it looks like Staffing World is... we'll include it in show notes. I can't find a quick date. So connect with the StaffWorks team there in Vegas. A great reason to go to Vegas, right?
Yep. Evans? Yeah,
indeed.
All right. Well, Ben, what a great show. I mean,
phenomenal.
We could spend the next few hours and dive deeper. I love the practical pains and challenges that RoadSync and StaffWorks are solving, and appreciate their y'all's leadership stories and insights there. So let's wrap up the show on a couple of final notes here. So Supply Chain Now Radio is a proud media partner of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th. I know, Robin, you're going to be in Chicago. We'll be here in Atlanta on a great 3PL and Supply Chain Summit. They've got a great lineup of speakers. Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, Tire Hub. Many of their leaders are going to be on. We're going to be broadcasting live interviews from the venue. We're going to be broadcasting live thanks to our friends at Becker Logistics. You can check them out at BeckerLogistics.com. Jim Becker is actually going to be also a keynote speaker at the event. Registration is still open. They have over 1,000 folks thus far. You can check out EFT.com or send us a note to Scott with two T's at SupplyChainNowRadio.com, and we will make sure we get you the information. Also, we just established a media partnership with the 2019 AIAGSCAC Supply Chain and Quality Conference. And Ben, I'm going to put you on the spot. Any guess what those acronyms stand for?
I am clueless. Please tell us.
You bet. So AIAG is the Automotive Industry Action Group, national group, voice of the automotive industry. And SCAC, South Carolina Automotive Council. So the state of South Carolina is going to be hosting this group for the Supply Chain and Quality Conference September 12th through the 13th in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina, all focused on the world of automotive. We're going to have a couple of sponsors for our live broadcast. If you're interested, you can shoot us a note and we will talk further. proud partners of the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. We were there last week at their headquarters broadcasting Today in Manufacturing series, which was sponsored by our friends over at IntelliTrans. And they've got a great event coming up, GMA, in October, the Georgia Manufacturing Summit. It's October 9th. If you want to connect with the wide array of manufacturing leaders across sectors here in the state of Georgia, you can learn more at GeorgiaManufacturingAlliance.com. So big thanks to our guests today, Robin Gregg, again, CEO of RoadSync, Justin Rayner, CEO and co-founder of TeamWorks, along with his brother, Evans Rayner, COO and co-founder of StaffWorks. Sorry, somebody said TeamWorks there. Wrong note, StaffWorks. Great stories there. I love the relationship y'all have as siblings and really all the great stories. Wish all of you continued growth as you continue to move the needle and help more organizations solve some timeless pains. Ben, before we sign off, and you're taking off to Germany and you got some other big plans this weekend, but anything else that you want to remind our audience of?
I think that's about it. Definitely stay tuned for a couple updates from Munich Wednesday
big
in particular. There'll be a big announcement, so stay tuned for that. Check the Twitter sphere and other social media platforms, obviously. But yeah, I think that's about it. This is a phenomenal show. Thanks, Scott, for hosting us.
Well, big thanks to it's great guests, great content. Of course, big thanks to our friends at ATDC for hosting us as well. All right, so be sure to check out our other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, of the resources at supplychainnowradio.com. Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the other leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of the entire team, Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful upcoming weekend, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio. Thanks, everybody.